You know, there's been a huge magnifying glass placed over the Trump administration, particularly as it pertains to the president dipping into and invoking the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. It is a relatively obscure law that hasn't been used very much throughout U.S. history, but the whole idea is to deport people from an enemy nation during a wartime or an invasion. And the definition of what an invasion might be different to different people. And the Trump administration is using that clause in the law as a way to say that this administration has the right to deport people, particularly gang members from El Salvador, from Venezuela, Trendyagua, gang members, for example, as a way to deport them back to the countries from which they came. Well, a judge here in the United States put a hold on that, saying that the administration couldn't use that law as a way to deport people. And the planes were already in the air carrying people back to their original countries. And so the administration, instead of turning those planes around, went ahead, landed, deboarded those people, and then came back to the United States. And it draws this question is, well, is this administration just going to flout the orders of judges? And how does that impact the way this administration operates within the federal structure? Let's bring in Reggie Passas, an immigration attorney at Butzel Long. Reggie, it's good to have you back this afternoon. I want to start a little bit with the Alien Enemies Act of 1798, what that is and how the administration is utilizing it.
Yeah, sure. So the Alien Enemies Act, first of all, when there's, you mentioned it, you summarized it pretty perfectly, just to break it down from a more legal standpoint. When there's a declared war between the United States and a foreign nation, all right, declared war, I want to emphasize that, then the U.S. has the ability to defend itself by, taking whatever actions, in this case, removal from the United States. During World War II, it was, internment of certain Japanese, German, and Italian nationals. So essentially, your summary is correct, but that's essentially what the Alien Enemies Act is about, that the administration could take certain actions in a declared war between the United States and a foreign nation. So one of my concerns about this, the way this act is being used here is, last I checked, we have not had a declaration of war against the country of Venezuela. So that's the first thing. Second thing, it usually applies to foreign nations or foreign governments. I know there's been some arguments about how this is an invasion and there's some gang members, and I'm not saying that the people who are subject to this are good people at all. But again, we are a rule of laws. And under the law, it's usually a foreign nation. And if these are individuals or members of a gang, that does not constitute a nation or a foreign government of any kind. So to me, it sounds like an expansion of what would be defined under the Alien Enemies Act, which is probably one of the issues that the federal judge, and if you go all the way through the appellate process, federal judge, the federal appellate judge, and then possibly the Supreme Court, would want to explore what exactly the administration's rationale is for justifying that the Alien Enemies Act would apply.
Well, what's interesting here is there hasn't been many instances in our history where presidents have invoked this law as a means to remove people from the United States. So it's not like there's a tremendous amount of precedent here. So if this gets up to the Supreme Court, for example, which I don't know about you, it does seem like that could be the trajectory. But if it does end up there, it seems that the administration via Stephen Miller on ESPN or ESPN on CNN the other day said said the other day that some of these people have come into the United States at the request of the governments in which they came, particularly Venezuela and some other places. So they're saying that it is an invasion. It's not a declaration of war, but it's an invasion into the United States. So the lack of precedent here is where I think those that are trying to stop this administration from utilizing this law as a means to deport people, they might run into some problems because there just isn't a lot of case law to back them up, it feels.
Right. Well, I mean, that's true of both sides, quite truthfully. I mean, courtrooms are crucible. You try and burn irrelevancies and get to the truth. I mean, you have the judge in the middle, and you have certainly the administration's position, which you've articulated by quoting Stephen Miller. And then there's the other side, which would point out the other parts of the statute. You know, that's what the judge was trying to have a hearing on, to try to see if this was an appropriate use of the act in this case. But of course, the fictional act of sending these people outside the country already took place. So the damage, I shouldn't say the act, was done. I didn't want to say the damages because that implies a totally different type of situation. But sure. The act of sending them was already done. So the court didn't have a chance. Now the question becomes, does the court have the authority to go into this? And, you know, Article 3 of the Constitution does state that Supreme Court and they call it inferior court, so the language of the time, set up by the, you know, Congress and stuff, do have the authority to establish any constitutional issues, any issues regarding the federal government. So they do have jurisdiction, you know, at least in my eyes. So now one other thing that they talked about, too, is they're trying to, the administration has made a distinction between whether this was a verbal order and had the full force of effect versus a written order, which they would argue has the full force of effect. In any court, everything's on the record, right? And what that means is court reporter either dictating into a microphone to be typed out later on, or dictating into someone's dictating to a recorder, or actually, you know, using a stenographer to try and type out everything that's being said. So whether it was verbal or written, and the judge actually wrote it or not, doesn't matter. It's going to be on the record, which means it's going to be in writing either way. So I think that's a false distinction that is being purported here. As far as I'm concerned, you know, if a judge says an order, you got to follow it.
Is it troubling to you that the administration didn't follow the order? They say that they worked within the framework of that order. What do you make of the administration going forward, letting that plane land, and then coming back to the United States without these folks?
Well, from my point of view as a lawyer, it is a bit troubling. I've sworn an oath to follow the rules of the court, follow the rules of the, you know, Constitution of the state of Michigan and the United States. So, I mean, that it is a bit troubling because we are a nation of rules, not necessarily of lawlessness. So it is a bit troubling. And one of my other concerns is, okay, if you have an executive branch who is going to not follow the rules of a court, how does the court enforce it? Because the enforcer of the law is the executive branch. So that will be an interesting question to see how this plays out as well. There are all sorts of things that are troubling.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, there are all sorts of things like the fact that the court doesn't have a way to enforce its order directly without the assistance of the executive branch. That's troubling. The fact that I can certainly understand the administration's position. I respect that. They're entitled to make that argument. But at the same time, the arguments that hadn't probably received a whole lot of media attention, but just in looking at the Alien Enemies Act, what nation did we declare war against? What enemy? These questions have to be litigated out and discussed. They can't just be arbitrarily decided by a handful of people. Because that's not the way
Do you think this gets to the Supreme Court?
Personally, I think a lot of these things get to the Supreme Court. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, federal officers have taken an oath to the Constitution, not to a person.
Sure.
So this is what the Constitution says should be done.
Well, and the administration says that they are working within the frameworks of the law. I imagine that will be adjudicated and heard and considered at the high court very soon. Reggie Passis at Butzelong, thanks so much. Really appreciate your time as always, my friend.
No, thank you, Chris.
Yep, we'll talk again very soon. 800-859-0957. More coming up, JR Afternoon.